You're listening to the Delane MD podcast. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Delane MD podcast. Today we are going to talk a little bit about thoughts. But before we get started, I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. And if you're finding this helpful, if you could go ahead and give us a review, this will help the podcast get out to more people who also might find this information helpful. Today, we are going to talk about thoughts and how that affects your weight loss and health goals. We frequently will talk about weight loss strategies, similar to the weight loss guide. If you've ever been at my website, DelaneMD.com, there's a weight loss guide, 4 simple steps to losing weight. We talk about things like avoiding processed foods, sugars, and carbohydrates. We talk about the importance of food journaling. We talk about intermittent fasting. All of these techniques and strategies are very important to weight loss. But as you start to implement some of these things, what you may begin to notice is certain rumblings in your brain, thoughts surfacing that you weren't expecting. Why can't I eat that? Well, this isn't fair. So-and-so can eat that and they don't have any problems with their weight. This can't be what I really have to do to lose weight. Why is this so hard? Why can't it be easier? What is wrong with my body that it has to be like this? When I was younger, it wasn't like this. I deserve to eat. Fill in the blank. Do any of these thoughts sound familiar to you? This is what we deal with in life and weight coaching. This is what's different when it comes to life and weight coaching options and strategies for losing weight that is not offered in weight loss programs that are available commercially. So the shitty thoughts that you think, the why can't it be easier, the why is it like this, they do not serve your weight loss goals. If you think back to the primitive brain, your primitive brain looks to seek out pleasure and avoid pain at all costs. The primitive brain is driven by a primal motivational triad: to avoid pain, seek pleasure, and expend the least amount of energy possible. These thoughts, why is it so hard? Why can't I do this? Lead us to find answers that support these questions. The answer for why is it so hard is because I have no self-discipline. The answer for why can't I do this is because I've always struggled to lose weight. The answers to these questions give us reasons to avoid making any attempts to learn new approaches, thereby avoiding expending any extra energy. These answers also cause us to have feelings of helplessness. Our primitive brain, in that primal triad, seeks to avoid feeling poorly and seeks out easy ways to feel better. So if you can fix this by eating a Twinkie or a Ho-Ho, you, one, avoid the crappy thought by feeding your brain the dopamine, which is the number 2 component of that. You flood your brain with a bunch of feel-good neurotransmitters, and you no longer have to think about why you can't do the things you were hoping you could do, or why it can't be easier, or why it has to be so hard, because your brain's now bathing in a lovely pool of feel-good dopamine. So your brain, your primitive brain, would love for you to do this over and over again. And this is why managing your thoughts is so important in reaching your weight loss goals. In life coaching, we use a tool called the thought model for you to evaluate and learn to manage your mind. The thought model is based on 5 components that all feed into each other. So first you have your circumstances. Your circumstances are neutral events that happen in the world. Everybody would look at these events and describe them in the same exact way. You have thoughts about these circumstances. Thoughts are the second component of this thought model. Your thoughts are typically specific to you, even if not unique to you, they're specific to you. These thoughts drive the third component, which is your feelings. Your feelings drive the fourth component, which is your actions. And your actions lead to the fifth component, your results. Your results, if done correctly, if the thought model is done correctly, your results always support your original thought. So an example is the temperature outside. The temperature outside could be 40 degrees Fahrenheit. This is a neutral concept. This is a neutral circumstance. Everybody in the world could look at a thermometer and read 40 degrees Fahrenheit. My thought about 40 degrees Fahrenheit is that it's too cold. I'm uncomfortable. Why does it have to be so cold outside? I have to bundle up. This is miserable. So my thoughts are, this is too cold. I have to bundle up. My feeling is miserable. My action is bundling up to a point that I'm uncomfortable, which gives me the result that 40 degrees is just uncomfortably cold for me. That supports that original thought. Now, if you go to somebody who is from northern Alaska or Siberia or Russia or someplace much colder than Kansas, they look at 40 degrees very differently than I do. The circumstance is still the same. They read the thermometer, it says 40 degrees. Their thought, it's a mild day. This is pretty comfortable. Their feeling might be comfortable or even excited because it's nice enough that they can go outside and there's not 3 feet of snow for them to trudge through. Their action is to put a light coat on and go out and do something fun. And their result is, this is a nice day and I got to do fun things that I don't usually get to do when there's 3 feet of snow outside. That same circumstance drove very different results in these different thought processes. Our different thoughts, changing that thought, drives completely different actions and results. And that's the important part of working on your thoughts. Other examples, the other end of the spectrum. In Kansas, a lot of times in the summer, we have 100 degree days. Many people will see that same circumstance, 100 degree day, as it's miserably hot. Their feeling is uncomfortable and stifled. Their action is to stay inside and avoid everything outside, which gives them the result of a miserable day that they didn't get to do the things they enjoyed doing. My thought regarding 100 degrees is it's finally warm enough to go outside and swim and have a fun summer day. My feeling is excitement. My action is to put on a swimming suit and shorts and get my kids and all go to the pool. My result is it was finally warm enough for me to have a lovely day in the summer. Same exact circumstances, totally different results based on our totally different thoughts. Other examples, coworkers. People have many different thoughts about different coworkers. Everybody, I'm sure, has had the experience of working with somebody who they feel did not pull their own weight, whether it be they didn't clean the break room, whether it be they didn't pull their own half of the work on the project, whatever those things are, everybody's had this experience. So your circumstance is a coworker. You can't say a lazy coworker because a lazy coworker is not universally accepted. I will guarantee you that their mother does not see them as a lazy coworker. Their mother sees them as doing very important work in the research and development part of your company so that they didn't have time to clean up their mess in the break room. That's what their mother would see. You, on the other hand, though, your thought is they didn't clean up the mess that they made in the break room, and that's rude. Your feeling about this is frustration. Your action is then to only seek out and look at examples of when that coworker is being lazy, which drives your result of seeing them as a lazy coworker that's not carrying their own weight. Another example, the scale, you know, the plastic spring-loaded scale that we all get on every morning. Your scale, many people will allow the scale to drive all sorts of thoughts and feelings inside of them, where the fact of the matter is the scale is an instrument. It's an instrument that measures your gravitational pull on the Earth. It is a plastic instrument with springs in it. It is nothing more than that. It makes you do nothing. It makes you feel nothing. It absolutely has no control over your life. However, people have so many thoughts revolving around what that scale reads and what they make that reading mean about them that people will avoid the scale at all costs. So let's talk about the scale. Say your scale reads 200 pounds. One person's thought about that might be, I'm fat and it doesn't matter what I do, even when I try with a diet, even when I try to change my eating, it still doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter. That feeling that they get from that thought is a lot of times defeated or disgusted. That defeated feeling drives the action of them seeking out a feel-good food, maybe raiding the freezer for ice cream, maybe eating Ho-Hos or Twinkies. And that action then drives the result that even when I try, it doesn't really matter, which was the thought they had in the first place. So the interesting part of this scale exercise is another person may also weigh 200 pounds. They may be the same height as the original person. They may be the same gender as the original person. However, in their path, they've come from 300 pounds down to 200 pounds. When they get on the scale and it reads 200 pounds, their thought is, I'm a badass. I just lost 100 pounds. I'm amazing. Their feeling that they get from this is challenged, is accomplished. And their action that they drive from that feeling is then to stick to the plan that they've had because they've already seen such great results with it. And you know what their end result is? That thought of, I'm a badass. I lost 100 pounds and I'm well on my way to losing the rest of the weight that I have to do. So you can see where our mind works with the thoughts that we give it. The mind is a very efficient tool. Once it thinks a thought enough times, it will always go back to that thought, similar to a dog running a fence line. The dog will always run that fence line, and the more it runs that fence line, the more it forms a rut around the fence line, which makes it easier for that dog to run that fence line. If you suddenly block that path around the fence line for the dog becomes disoriented. The dog will not find a new way easily across the yard to get to the point that it wanted to get to in the first place. The same way with your mind. Your mind, once it runs a thought pathway, it actually forms a stronger anatomical connection with those neurons and synapses that developed that thought in the first place. The more you think it, the stronger that thought becomes. To change that thought takes an element of awareness, of knowing, hey, this is that shitty thought that I've thought 1,000 times before that's never served me. Maybe today I try something new. So some of the thoughts that we think that we don't really put too much stock into, thoughts like, why am I so fat? Why does losing weight have to be so hard? Why can't it be easier? These crappy thoughts that we think, when you ask yourself those questions, your brain is going to go to work to find evidence to answer all those. Why am I so fat? Your mind's going to tell you, because your body's predisposed to be like this. All of your family's heavy. This is just your genetic makeup. You don't have enough self-control to keep to your plan. If you ask your brain, your mind, why is losing weight so hard? Your mind's going to tell you things like, your body's faulty. Maybe you should have your thyroid checked. Again, this is just your genetics. Your family eats like this. What do you expect you to eat like? When you give your mind a crappy thought to think or a crappy question to answer, your mind's going to find crappy answers to that question. It's going to continue to think the crappy thoughts. Your mind does one thing. It finds the evidence that you are looking for. If you're going to ask a question that's crappy, it's going to find crappy evidence to give you to answer that question. So the solution we all want is to just jump to better thoughts, because if I can just jump to better thoughts, then I can get to my goals quicker. Can we do that, please, really quickly? Please, thank you. So the answer is not really to jump to rainbows and butterflies and all things being great and grand and I'm wonderful and I can do this, because that's not going to feel sincere to your brain. Again, when you block that neural pathway, you're going to be confused and disoriented because your brain has ran that so many times. It knows exactly what's at the end of it, and it's going to look for that comfortable, familiar place. So the first thing you need to do is stop thinking the shitty thoughts you've thought all these times. Maybe say to yourself, this hasn't served me before. I'm not going to think that today. And instead, put your mind to work looking for answers to better questions. Instead of asking, why is this so hard? Maybe instead you ask yourself, how can this be easier? Or, in what ways is this already easier for me? Or, if I were at a point where I'd already lost 50 pounds, what would I have done in between here and there to get to that goal? All of these things your mind wants to think about. Your mind wants to find you good answers for. Your mind wants to find you evidence that these things are possible. But you have to ask your mind the right questions. So I promote the practice of looking at your thoughts constructively every single day. Some people call this journaling. Other people call this diary work. Other people call this thought download. I call it taking out the trash. Every morning, every day, I sit for 5 to 10 minutes and I write down all the crazy shit going on in my head. And then I look at the things. I look at the thoughts and I'm like, yeah, that's working for me. That one's doing okay. And I look at other thoughts and I'm like, that one's probably not serving me so well. Maybe I need to find a new way to look at that. And I take that thought and I put it through the thought model. I find what circumstance I'm looking at. I find out what feeling that thought is driving, what actions it's leading to, and how the result that action drives is bringing me back to support that same stupid thought that isn't really serving me. And then I look for how I want it to be. I look for what I want the result to be, maybe what I want my feeling to be. So an example recently in my own taking out of the trash every morning, I had a circumstance of my plan. So that was my circumstance. My issue that I kept running up against was that one off-plan choice that I would make during the day would lead to a day of off-plan choices. So if my plan was to eat my meal and then I decided off-plan, this was not a planned decision, that I was going to have a piece of chocolate, I would have that piece of chocolate. And then I would have tons of food chatter about that piece of chocolate that I ate, which typically led me to making other off-plan decisions. More pieces of chocolate, maybe a handful of nuts, maybe a Twizzler, maybe a beer. Before I knew it, the entire day was plagued with shitty decisions that I'd made, all because of this one decision. And the one decision led me to have this thought that, oh, I made one bad decision, the whole day screwed. That thought was not serving me. My circumstance was my plan. My thought was one bad decision screws the entire day. My feeling was teetering on the edge of uncertainty, like I just didn't know what I was going to do. My action was to ruminate in food chatter until I got to the point where I didn't want to think about it anymore, so I would just eat whatever I was thinking about. And my result was that one silly off-plan decision led to the entire day being foobarred. That result supporting that original thought that if I have one off-plan choice, it leads to the entire day being off-plan. So as I thought about what I wanted my result to be, I wanted my result to be the most rational thoughts ever. One off-plan decision doesn't need to affect any other decision I make throughout the day. So I thought about the action that would drive that. The action that would drive that is if there is an off-plan decision, that doesn't mean I make any other off-plan decisions. The next decision I make is an on-plan decision. The feeling that drove that action when I thought about it was intentional and rational clarity about my plan. The thought, again, is one off-plan decision does not need to affect any other decisions during my day. And then my circumstance was just this neutral concept of my plan. Then what happens is the next day when I'm having thoughts of having an off-plan decision, or the next time I do make an off-plan decision, because chances are good that that's going to happen at some point in my life again. Instead of telling myself that my entire day is foobarred and everything, the sky's the limit, I can eat anything, instead of telling myself that that was how it went and letting the entire day be derailed off of one simple decision, I instead thought one off-plan decision does not need to affect the rest of my day. And I went from there with a clear intent and feeling in control, having the action of one off-plan decision doesn't need to make any effect on the next decision I make. The next decision I make will be an on-plan decision. And that gave me the result I want. All of this is not something we do naturally. We don't think about our thoughts. In fact, humans are, as far as we know, the only animal that has this ability for metacognition, this ability to think about what we think about. We certainly are not natural at this. But this, again, is the difference between running on our primitive brain and running on our prefrontal cortex. Our prefrontal cortex gives us the ability to think about our thoughts and how it drives our feelings and our actions and our results. So I want to hear what you guys think about this. Any questions that you have, you can send me a message through DelaneMD.com or through Facebook at DelaneMD. You can send me a message and I'd be interested to hear any thoughts or questions you guys have about this. Until then, I encourage you guys to practice taking out your trash every morning. Practice clearing out your mind and all the thoughts that are going around in there and really critically looking at them and looking at how they serve you or don't serve you. And then look for better thoughts. Stop thinking the same old shitty thoughts that you've thought in the past that haven't given you the results you want. Start trying out some new thoughts and see how it goes. Let me know. I will talk to you guys next week. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD.